Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome. Becoming a Christian is an individual, personal decision. You don't become a Christian because someone told you to. You don't become a Christian because someone else wants you to. You don't become a Christian because someone else did. You become a Christian because you're convinced in your heart that's what God wants and it's the best life and it's a response to the gospel. I read a story about a job opportunity as an engineer. Two men applied. They interviewed so well that the CEO couldn't make the decision which one to hire. So he called them both into his office and gave them a test. 10 questions. He finally brought one man back in and said, "We're going to hire the other man." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Well, there were 10 questions. You interviewed perfectly, but there are 10 questions. And the other fella, on question number 5, he answered, 'I don't know.' And you answered, 'Neither do I.'" So it's personal. We have quite a text, but it's the Word of God. So follow with me in this text in the book of 2 Kings. Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram, a great man in sight of his master, highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Bands of raiders had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.' So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl said. 'By means, go, I'll send a letter.' So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver and 3,000 shekels. I need to tell you this right now. In our contemporary day, that's over $3 million. Okay? We'll come back to that. And 10 cents of clothing. The letter he took the king of Israel said this: 'With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so you may cure him of his leprosy.' As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, 'My God, can I kill him and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to cure leprosy? He's trying to pick a quarrel with me.' Elisha, the prophet, the man of God, heard the king of Israel torn his clothes. He sent this message: 'Why tear your clothes? Have the man come to me. He'll know there's a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman went with his horses and chariots, stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger," verse 10, "said, 'Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you'll be cleansed.' Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought he would surely come out and stand and call the name of his Lord, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers in Damascus, better than the water of Israel? Couldn't I wash on them and be cleansed?' So he turned and he went off in a rage." Verse 13, "Naaman's servant said to him, 'Father, if the prophet had asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? How much more then when he tells you to wash and be cleansed?' So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times, as the man of God told him. And his flesh was restored, became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all of his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said this: 'Now I know there is no God in all the world like the God of Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant.'" Wow. Naaman was a great man. He was a wealthy man. He was a powerful man. He had everything going for him. He'd won many battles. As a matter of fact, today he would be a 5-star general. Had all this going for him, but he had one problem. He was a leper. Leading me to say this, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how good things are going for you, how blessed you are, what position you have, no human being is exempt from life's problems. And so this man had a problem. He's a leper. But the Bible tells us there was this little girl who was taken captive because someone thought she'd make a good servant for Naaman's wife. So when this little girl heard that her master had leprosy, she said, "I know someone back in Israel who could cure leprosy. Why don't you go back there?" So the king of Syria sent a letter and $3 million and 10 changes of clothing with Naaman, and he went to the king of Israel. King of Israel said, "I'm not God. I can't do this." But there was a man of God there. His name was Elisha. And he said, "Bring him here. I can cure his leprosy." So get the picture. 5-star general, chariots, soldiers, entourage. They come to a prophet's house. He doesn't even come out. He sends someone out and says, "All you got to do is go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, dip there, and you'll be cleansed." Naaman was furious. He said, "I thought you'd come out, rub your hand over where the leprosy was, and call upon your God, and I'd be cleansed. We've got better rivers back at my place than you've got here." And so he left. And thank God for servants. Some servants said, "Look, if God had asked you to do something hard, if God had said $1 more million or crawl on your knees on ice or on glass, you'd have done it. But all he asked you to do is dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Why don't you do it?" So he did, and when he had done that, the Bible tells us after the 7th time he came out of the water that his flesh was like a child's, perfect. Then the man said this, which I want to do this morning right now. The man said, "There is no God anywhere in the world like the God of Israel." And I want to tell you, there is no God anywhere like the God in the Bible. There is no God anywhere like Jehovah. There's no God anywhere like the Lord God in the Bible. There's no God anywhere as powerful, as gracious, as forgiving, as patient, as loving as God. So we need to start there with our sermon and praise God for who he is and how awesome he is. Okay, that's first. Let's go to our first truth. God has placed within every human being the need to be touched and loved. Do you agree with that? Okay, about a third of you do. I don't know what the rest of you think. Naaman was a leper. Naaman had a wife, and she couldn't touch him. Naaman probably had children, and they couldn't touch him. Naaman had friends, and they couldn't touch him. Naaman had other soldiers under him, and they couldn't touch him. And I really don't care if there's some men here today who are so macho who think that I don't need somebody to touch me, but the Bible says that God wired us to want to be touched and loved and embraced. Several years ago, there was a man in our ministry. Again, when I tell these stories, people check with Nancy. That's okay. He was about 3 foot tall. He was a dwarf. Remember Nancy? His name was Dan. Watch Nancy shake her head. Okay, that's good. Dan called me up. He said, "Preacher, can I make an appointment with you?" I said, "Sure." Made the appointment. He said, "I want to come to your office." And so he did. Came to my office and sat down. He said, "Preacher," and Dan was probably 30 years old. 3 foot, maybe 3'2", 3'3". He said, "After I was born, I was a little child, my mother put me in an institution because she thought something was wrong with me." By the way, now he's a CPA. "My mother wouldn't touch me. Girls won't date me. They won't touch me. People don't touch me." And then Dan said this, Preacher, would you give me a hug? I said, you betcha. And I got out of my chair, went over, and gave him a hug, because no one ever touched him before. That's why when you haven't seen a loved one in a long time, you see them and you embrace, you touch them. That's why a widow wants, we had a widow in our first church who said, what I miss is human touch. That's why we hold our babies. That's why we embrace people that we care about, because everybody needs a touch. And no matter how much he wanted one, Naaman couldn't get one because he was a leper and nobody touching. I'm going to put four things on the screen right now just about relationships, and we're going to go on. Look at this. The four C's of healthy relationship. I'm going to comment about each one of them. First of all, you got to be concerned about somebody if you want to have a relationship. Someone who will tell you the truth and care about you. That's a relationship. Second, commitment. Someone who will go with you through whatever you're going through, your pain, your struggles, your heartaches, they'll go with you. Third, confidentiality. If a person's a friend and they're going to have a relationship with you, they have to keep your confidences and your struggles. And last, consistency. Someone who will follow up and call you and say how you're doing. Those are all important in the relationship that we have. That is why the Gaither song is so popular. You finish it. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of sin and care, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Touched me. He touched me. Well, in life, I think, and I need to encourage you to be this way, there are two types of people. I call them balcony people and basement people. Balcony people will always lift you up and make you better. Basement people will always bring you down and make you worse. Balcony people are positive people. Basement people are negative people. And you know who you are. And I challenge you, if you're a basement person, always finding fault and criticizing other people, I challenge you, this church needs balcony people. Amen. We always find the good in people. I'm going to embarrass Gene, but Gene's a balcony person. He always finds the good in people, you know? He even has a bad golf shot and says it's perfect. He's a balcony person. And we need balcony people here. Okay, second. When it comes to saving us and meeting our needs, God doesn't need our help. If you look at the passage, take a look at verse 11. Because in verse 11, Naaman says, after they said, go dip seven times in Jordan River, Naaman says, I thought that he'd come out, find the leprosy, rub his hand over it, call on his God, and I'd be okay. I think our rivers are better. I thought. So here we go. Let's bring this down to 2016. I think if I'm a good person, I'll go to heaven. I think if I go to church, I'll be okay. I think if I give to charity, I'll be all right. I think if I'm as good as the people who go to your church, I'll be okay. God doesn't want us to think. God wants us to obey. Amen. Obey. Naaman could think about it all day, but he's going to keep having his leprosy until he obeyed. And so I did this for you. This is what I would do if I was in your home. Let's look at what God has said to do. First, you got to hear about God's son. This is God's plan, God's orders. You know, God does not negotiate. He just tells us what to do. We don't need to think about it. We just need to obey. Keep going. You must believe that what you hear, that's called faith. We're just going to keep going. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus. Be baptized into Christ. And live the Christian life. Those are things that we need to do. And, you know, if... how many of you here have a doctor? Wow, that's a lot of people who don't have a doctor here. You got a doctor? I've got three or four of them. Patients don't prescribe medication. Doctors do. And so when I go to my doctor, I don't say to my doctor, here's the medication I need. My doctor tells me the medication I need. If I tell him what I need, he's going to say, then you don't need me and you're wasting your time. We as patients don't need to tell God what to do. God tells us what to do. Otherwise, God's going to say, well, you don't need me. You're wasting my time. Okay, the third truth. If you want to get blessed, get rid of your pride. Naaman said, we got better rivers back there than this muddy Jordan River. I want to tell you, if he'd have got dunked in Abana or Pharpar, the rivers in Syria, he might have got rid of his dirt, but he wouldn't have got rid of his leprosy because he had to swallow his pride. And pride's a terrible thing. So I put on our screen some things that pride, how costly it is. Here's the first one. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And God hates pride. First, we got this? Yeah, because the very first sin was pride. That was the devil. That was Lucifer, who was proud and thought he was as good as God. So God hates pride because it was the first sin. But also notice this. It's the most anti-God sin. God hates pride because when a person is prideful, they're taking God's place. They're saying, I don't need God. And third, it promotes self-sufficiency. I don't need the Lord. That's why God hates pride. I heard about a woman in the church. I'm not sure it was in this church. Every time I look around at the women, I just think I'm the prettiest woman in the church. Preacher, what should I do about this sin? And the preacher said, honey, that's no sin. It's just a big mistake. Pride. They tried to build a tower to reach the sky. Pride. David was so prideful of how many men in his army, he counted them and it cost 70,000 their lives. Nebuchadnezzar had pride of his gardens and God struck him, he became an animal. So pride does those things. So I want to say something about the church here, then we're going to go on. Don't answer out loud. Answer here. Should we be proud of this building? The answer is no. We should be thankful for this building. Amen. Should we invite people to come see our building? The answer is yes. Because if you invite people to come see this new building, they may just hear the gospel and find Jesus. Amen. That's the difference. Don't be prideful. Be thankful. And use this building to say, come see our church building so you hear about Jesus and the gospel. That's the difference. Okay, last truth. When God blesses you, praise him and thank him. And Naaman, oh my goodness, Naaman said, there's no God like the God in Israel. There's no God in the world like the God of Israel. And so I have three things to share with you, and then we'll sing a closing song. Here's the first one. This man got an outward healing. Leprosy, and an inward healing, his heart. And he had a skin disease, but we have a sin disease. And he couldn't help himself. God had to help him, and we can't help ourselves. God had to help us. Second, he offered Elisha money. You see that in the text? After he was healed, he said to Elisha, here's some money. Elisha said, no, I don't want your money. And the reason Elisha didn't want his money was because he didn't want Naaman to think that he contributed to his healing. Several years ago, I got a call from a woman who said, Justin, please come by my house right away. Woman, her husband, and two children. Went to the house, and she said, I want you to baptize all four of us. I said, why? She said, I got sick. I went in the hospital. And while I was in the hospital, I got afraid because I became blind. I lost my sight, and it scared me. And for 3 days, I was blind. Then my sight came back, and I want God in my life, and so does my husband and my children. People, I want you to hear this. So I taught them and baptized all four of them. 3 days later, I got a check in the mail for the baptisms. I drove back and was nice, not insulting. And I said, I want you to take this money back because you can't buy God's grace. Grace is free. You can't buy, you can't pay for your baptism. Naaman tried to help God out by giving a gift. God's grace is so free. Here's the last one. Let God call the shots. Yeah. You see, no one here probably wants to be told how to run their life, but you need to be told how to run your life because God wants to run your life. Another woman told me one time, she said, this is very insightful, by the way. She said, I used to think that my problems in life were because of food, alcohol, drugs, sex, and money. So I thought, those are the problems in my life. If I got rid of those, I'd be okay. So for a while, I tried getting rid of food. I tried stopping alcohol. I quit doing drugs. I quit sexuality, being immoral sexually, and I stopped worshiping money. And none of my problems went away. And I'm telling that story because here's what she said. I found out that my problem was there was a void in my heart. I needed God. Amen. And as soon as I put God in the void of my heart, my problems stopped. And it made me, gave me a better life. It gave me healing. And it gave me direction in my life. So, should I get baptized? Well, there's no power in the water. The power is in obedience to God and doing what God says. That's all. And the water the man went into wasn't important. It was the man that went into the water. Naaman finally believed in what God said to do.